Hello and welcome to Fail Taxonomy.
Episode 2. Which we're recording
we have
on
yet
the...
to... Oops, sorry. Go.
Which we're recording on the 8th of April, 2018. So now you in the future can know how dated this is and understand why we're not referring to anything you know about.
I mean, I also don't know anything about the world at large, so there's that.
Yeah. We're all very good at this.
We have, not gotten less awkward than last time, so prepared for us to still be charming and, stumbling over ourselves.
Yes, we're like adorable puppies who can barely stand up. It's great.
It's great. So I've completely forgotten what we do in this podcast, Ian. What do we do?
Well, we talk about stuff we've been reading, our exercise routines or lack thereof, stuff we've been writing, and then we have a miscellaneous section, and then we answer questions from our erstwhile listeners, by which we mean friends who we begged to send us questions.
And we're running out of questions. Well, I mean, we're not running out, but we're going to run out, so send us more. Send us more questions. I would love to answer
yes.
All of your deepest, strangest questions.
Yes, there's a contact form on our site and everything. Hooray. It should even work.
All right. Should we segue into our first section, or do we have more intro to do?
I don't have anything if you don't, so.
I don't. So what have you been reading lately?
Stuff. I haven't made a lot of progress since the books I was reading last time, honestly. I did start reading a very, very boring book in that it is of zero interest to the listeners.
No, I bet you I'm interested.
You say that now. I started reading the book Cracking the Code Interview, which is for people like me who learned how to code in college, but every time we go to a coding interview, we flail around and then explode.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm in the middle of an interviewing process, and they're like, hey, heads up, the next interview you're going to need to write code, like real code. And I'm like, oh, fuck. So I've been brushing up, and they recommended that book as one of the study things. So that's what I've been reading, and it's fine.
Is it helpful at all, or?
Yeah, it's been helpful so far, but I'm very early on, and I'm mostly in it for the practice questions, which I actually haven't reached yet. So I'm reading about big O notation. So if you're into estimating the worst case scenario of an algorithm's runtime, have I got information for you?
I barely know what that means, so.
It's all good. But yeah, that's what I've been reading. I've been working a little bit more on Whatever by John Scalzi and on Opening Up by a person whose name I'm forgetting. Fair. But that's been about it. What have you been reading?
I have been reading, so I feel bad because I read this book called Love, Hate, and Other Filters by insert author name here. And I was expecting it to be super cute. It's supposed to be about this Indian Muslim girl who is torn between being like a good Indian Muslim American, where she does what her parents want and finds a good like Indian Muslim husband, and, you know, being the girl that she wants to be, which is a filmmaker, and dating this cute football guy from her school. And then halfway through, there's a terrorist attack, and he has to deal with the racism fallout from that. And I thought it was going to be really interesting, and I didn't even make it to, unfortunately, the terrorist attack, because the book itself, while the characters were cute, and I think the story could have been really good, it was just a lot of telling instead of showing. It was like, I am a Muslim, and this is what that means, and like, I am going to an Indian wedding, and this is what that means. And I think possibly because it's YA, it's really good for the teen readers that are going into it and that don't necessarily know, but it's not written for like teens who are already Indian and Muslim, or for adults that may already have a bit of knowledge about what that means. So it wasn't for me. You know, I was not the reader that book was meant for, unfortunately. But then I picked up a manga called Erased, which is really fun. And it's about, so it's about this guy, and he has always had this weird like superpower where he can go back in time, or it just happens to him. He doesn't have any control, but he goes back in time 1 to 5 minutes, and he goes back in time that amount of time until he averts a tragedy that happens. So for example, in the beginning of the book, he's delivering a pizza to somewhere, and he keeps going back in time and passing this one little boy on a crosswalk and a truck. And he keeps like going back and going back until he figures out that that truck, the driver is asleep or something's happening where he's not controlling the truck anymore. And what happens is that truck hits a building and kills the little boy. And he saves that little boy by basically at expense to himself. He follows the truck on his scooter and gets hit by a car, but the little boy gets out of the way because he sees this weird guy on a scooter trying to like get into this truck. So it's always, it seems like, at expense to himself, but he saves the lives of people and he makes the world slightly better. And then a tragedy strikes him where his mother is killed, and he goes back in time till when he was 10, and he was 28 at the time. So he goes back in time to when he's 10 years old, and he has to avert a tragedy that happened when he was a kid to save his mother in the future, supposedly. And that's where I am. And it's a real, just like, it's really cool, but it's also like, whoa, there's so much going on.
Sounds kind of intense, yeah.
Yeah, but it's really cool. And I guess there is an anime, and the anime is also pretty good, but I'm enjoying the manga so far. I finished the first volume, and they're big ones, and I started the second one.
Cool.
Yeah.
I miss reading manga. I should do that again.
I love manga. I haven't kept up with it, and I keep trying to get the teens at work to tell me what I should read, and it's always just Attack on Titan, and I don't really want to read Attack on Titan.
Maybe you have to like unlock any other recommendations, though.
Maybe that might be true. I just feel like such a
tutorial.
Yeah, I just feel like such an old person because I'm like, but I like Sailor Moon and Inuyasha, and they're like, "What the hell is that?"
I've been joking that my anime knowledge stops in about 2003, 2004, because I'm like, "Yeah, Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex was a great anime." What do you mean anything came out after that?
Yeah, I'm like, I really, really enjoyed Fooly Cooly and Paranoia Agent, and what happened after that, I don't know. Yeah.
Enjoy might be a strong word for my experience with Paranoia Agent. It was very good. I'm not sure it brought me anything resembling joy, though.
Well, okay, if you think less about the story and more just about the animation style, can you enjoy it then?
Yeah, sure. Thing is, like, I would totally watch it again, but that was a dark-ass show.
Oh, yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. Sometimes you just gotta go dark.
And this has been your early 2000s anime hour with Ian and Katie.
See, we have no idea what's going on in the world right now, but we could tell you about what happened in early 2000s anime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To be fair, I did watch Hunter x Hunter, and I think that started coming out in, like, 2010 or 2013, which I realize is a huge range, but for the anime.
Yeah.
Because there was a 1999 version, then there was a modern version, and I've watched that one.
I have one teen that's really into that, and I don't even know a little bit about what that's about. I did watch Soul Eater, which I think is still pretty dated at this point.
Well, I recommend Hunter x Hunter. It's... Okay. It's taking a standard shonen character and putting them into a world where people die all the time doing the dangerous things that shonen characters do.
Nice.
There's also at least one wonderfully queer-coded sociopathic clown villain, and the world needs more of those. So,
does it?
It does, because this one is performed to perfection.
Okay, okay.
It also lends itself to being read as like the queerest anime ever, which is very, very fun.
Interesting. Okay.
Or at least queerest anime ever that isn't explicitly queer. Which,
fair. I mean, I watched Sailor Moon growing up, so I have high expectations now.
Oh no. What if it doesn't meet them though? Well, hopefully it will.
Ah, yeah. Alright. All right. So what's next? Writing? Exercise?
I think they're exercise is next.
Okay.
So. Section 2, exercise.
Woo! How's exercise going for you?
It went poorly this week because I was sick starting on Wednesday and going through today, if I'm still snuffling into the microphone. It's been getting better. Or I've been getting better, but like, I lifted weights on Wednesday. I was like, man, that felt not like a great workout. And then on Thursday, I was fully hit by this cold thing that I got. So,
oh, sad face.
I pretty much spent Thursday through Friday, or Thursday through Saturday, like, being in various prostrate states. I mean, that makes it sound very dramatic. Like, I was still able to go out and go to the movies and stuff, but I did not have the energy to do much besides.
I mean, that's fair. You're allowed to be dramatic when you're sick. At least those are the rules of my life.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, not amazing. I guess on this last Wednesday, I talked to you about it before.
Yeah.
I did manage to squat a really high number.
Yes, I do remember being impressed because it was more than a full Katie.
Yeah, I think it ended up translating to like 270, 275 pounds. I don't remember what it was in kilograms exactly. But I'm getting there. Someday I'll be able to do a 3-plate squat and then I will just immediately die.
I mean, please don't do that, but it's still very impressive.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, I'm impressed, so.
Yeah, I'm liking getting better at squats. It's just a shame that squats don't really do much. Like, I don't want to be beautiful because of squats, but that's okay. I suppose I'll survive somehow.
It's really good for the butt.
True.
And I mean, just because you can't see your butt doesn't mean it's not a beautiful butt, so.
We just have to believe in our butts even if we can't see them.
Exactly, exactly.
Have faith in our butts. Alright. How has exercise been going for you?
Kind of poorly. I haven't been very good at keeping up with it. I decided early on in the week, I think I told you this last time, or I told you this before, I can't remember. But I've decided that I am not a morning person, and I've given up trying to be a morning person. And that has helped. So when I get home and after dinner, I've been doing like a little bit of yoga, but it hasn't been like a half hour routine like I was at. But it has been nicer out, which is really good. So I've started going for walks again. This is largely motivated by the fact that Pokemon Go has introduced questing to their game. And so,
yeah, so I hear.
It's been really fun. I've hatched a lot of eggs and I've gotten a lot of new Pokemon, and that's pretty cool. Caught a shiny Bulbasaur. Pretty pumped about that.
Nice.
So, yeah, and my apartment is, you know, a state forest, so there's lots of cool little streams and stuff to go see, and today I found a really cool walking stick, so I'm hoping I will just go walking more, because that's good for you, so I hear.
Yeah. I've been wanting to go walking more, too. And it occurs to me that I actually completely forgot that I did start a new audiobook, and part of the reason I wanted to go walking was so I could listen to more audiobooks and, like, finish them. I started Ancillary Justice by Anne Leckie.
Yay!
It's very good.
It is. Join us.
I keep being frustrated by characters not from the Roach.
Yep.
Misgendering characters that are from the Roach, if only because the Roach has no concept of gender.
Yes. I love it because they're just like, what? Why? How are you supposed to tell? It seems so random. And it's like, yes, yes, it does.
I do really. The thing that keeps throwing me off, too, is just that, like, I think I've read a lot of Cameron Hurley stuff. So now I'm just like, ah, yes. Every character referred to as she is some sort of badass femme person. And, like, that's not true in this book.
It's not. Yeah, I remember having to, like, wire my brain by going, oh, they, because every character is referred to as she, my brain automatically, yeah, made them a badass femme character. And I was like, oh, wait, but, like, they're not. I have to remember how they're actually described because they're all different, which is really cool. And I think it does a lot. So,
yeah, I've been liking it a lot so far. And hopefully I will get to go walking this week. Good. If the weather clears up, it has been raining on and off for the past several days. So,
yeah, it looks like it's raining now. And I'm glad I went for a walk earlier. At least it's not snowing. It snowed again on Friday and I hated it.
Why do we even have snow?
I don't know. Like, it's nice for, like, a week, and then I'm over it. Especially after the 5th nor'easter, I'm like, okay, done.
Meanwhile, Seattle's like, it's spring. No, wait, it's raining. No, wait, it's hailing. No, wait, it's spring. No, it's raining again.
Yep. In February, we had, like, 80-degree weather for a week, and now we don't ever again. That was it. That was summer for us, I think.
Hooray.
Hooray, New England. Yay.
Yay. Well, we're going kind of fast today, but should we move on to section 3?
I know, we're not getting distracted. Let's move on to section 3 and talk about writing.
Writing.
Yay! What did you write this week or this 2 weeks?
A whole, kind of like a whole pile of nothing.
That's fine.
Like, I did my morning pages. I wrote some other stuff. I did miss writing the past few days because of being sick. But, like, I wrote a bunch of stuff that I'm not sure I can actually use for anything. And that's not the end of the world by any means, but I do think I need to give myself a project here pretty soon, because otherwise I'm going to get frustrated that my, you know, 1,000 words a day or whatever are just kind of going to this pit where nothing emerges.
Yeah, I mean, it's still, like, that's still 1,000 words a day that you've improved on, so that's pretty cool.
I guess. I'm going to say it's really easy to fall into writing, like, the same thing every day, though, if you're just like, I need to write about something, I haven't thought of anything. Well, time to write smut.
I mean, but that's putting something out into the world. And I mean, you know, if you saw somebody drawing the same thing every day, you'd still be like, well, they're practicing just getting really good at something that's happening. So writing the same thing every day is also practice. It's fine.
I try to think of it that way.
It's hard. I think especially writing is hard because you're like, I don't know, there's no real, like, it's not a visual art, so you can't see it as well. But if you write, I think you're improving.
This is, like, tangentially related to writing. I'm getting really close with finishing Shadow of Mordor, which means I can finally write the essay I've been thinking about for it forever.
That's exciting.
So close.
What's the essay?
Please, let nothing in the last 20% of the game invalidate the thesis of my essay.
What's your essay? Tell me about it. Can you tell me about it or no?
I'm not going to tell you about it because I want to torture Merc. He got really excited when I told them that I was going to do it, and then I said it wasn't ready yet.
Awesome. Okay, I'm in favor of torturing them, so haha, Merc.
What have you been writing?
So I have been working on my residency application, which has meant working on a writing sample, which has also meant working on my book again, which has been exciting. I've sort of solidified the fact that it's going to be young adult, which has meant that I had to figure out how to change some things because it's a book that's set in college, which is kind of one of those nebulous places where it's like not quite YA, but it's not quite adult either.
Is it new adult?
See, I hate new adult as a term.
Okay.
And so I'm hesitant to call it that. If I had my way, young adult fiction would be called teen fiction, and new adult, quote unquote, would be young adult fiction.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. But because the residency is specifically focusing on children's and young adult, I want to bring it into a young adult atmosphere. And so it's been a little bit of a research and trying to rework the concept I had before, which has been easy enough. I've made it so that they are kids in a early acceptance kind of college atmosphere where they had a certain talent in certain types of magic that have brought them into a dorm setting where it's like all the early acceptance kids and being awkward and trying to be an adult even earlier than you would be, because college is an awkward time anyway. And if you're going to college early, it's even awkwarder because you're like, I don't know how to do anything.
And if you were a high achieving kid, so maybe you didn't socialize as much, it's probably even worse.
Exactly. So that's actually been fun, and it's been a little bit of world building that got done just because I had to figure that out. And so now I have the first chapter pretty solid. I've had a bunch of beta readers look at it, and so I have to submit that and then a letter and an application, and I'm hoping that'll be good. And I also had a really cool idea today about for a short story that I'm kind of excited about. And that is the basic thing that I have set up for that is just, it is a world, it's like a dystopian world, and it's nothing like a new concept. It's exploring like class lines in a dystopian world, but it's set up so that there is this city that is basically a LARP / video game that you can play in. And so the poor people who can't afford to eat or anything can go to the city and be NPCs and have like a little vend place. And so they just kind of have to hope that the player characters / the rich people will vend trash them some food so that they can give them gold for food and then they can eat that food.
That is fucking dark. I love it.
I'm really excited about that. I have no idea where that's going to go as a story, but I'm enjoying that concept in my brain.
Yeah.
So that's what I've been doing this week.
Cool. That actually reminded me that I did have a short story idea.
Ooh.
I'm bad at sharing, so I don't normally do this, but I was trying to figure out a concept for that Ace anthology I was telling you about, which if I decide to write that, I have a week, so that'll be fun. But I basically wanted to do Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, but with an alien, like a giant insect alien, because
yes, giant insect aliens are awesome.
Yes, I mean, who among us would not date a giant praying mantis thing given the chance?
Oh, I mean, if it's an ace relationship, then definitely, but I do not want to get eaten.
I figure it's a non-eating kind of thing.
okay, fair enough.
At least not eating each other.
Okay, then I'm down. Count me in.
Sweet. Section 4, which section is the miscellaneous section, so think on your feet.
Oh no, I already talked about Pokemon Go. Let's see. I don't know. Have you got anything, Ian?
I saw A Wrinkle in Time, finally. I don't know.
Was it good?
Did you see that?
I haven't yet, but I've read the book and I want to go see it, so tell me about it.
It's really good, and I don't remember the book, so that probably... I've been informed by my boyfriend and their date friend, Tomas, that basically that it's a very good book, or it's a very good movie. It changes a lot of stuff from the book, but it's very pragmatic about it, like, and it works very well. So, apparently it's a non-faithful translation, but it does a really interesting job of that. It's not the kind of thing where people are going to run around going, oh no, it ruined the original concept. Like, on my part, it's visually very beautiful.
Cool.
All the casting is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, no one told me that Mindy Kaling's in that movie.
Oh, she is?
Yes.
Oh my god.
She's one of the misses, the one who can't speak in normal language and has to quote other people.
Oh, nice.
And her costume honestly looks a lot like, at least the headpiece and stuff looks a lot like something that Lulu from Final Fantasy X would have been wearing, so.
Sweet.
but yeah, like, there were a lot of comedians in the cast, and that made me really happy, because they all managed to kind of play up their facial expressions incredibly well, and
yeah.
Also Oprah was there.
Which is amazing.
And all the child actors are really good, and
cool.
Like, it's just a really high quality production. Also, Chris Pine can play someone's dad now, and that's deeply confusing to me, but also great because he is super hot with a beard.
Ooh, he's got a beard? Nice.
Yes. And he gets kind of long floppy hair, and it's everything I never knew I wanted.
All right. I mean, I have to go see it. I wanted to go see it in the beginning, and I have to just go see it. I've been waiting on, I got Movie Pass. I don't know if I've told you about this.
I've heard about it.
All right. Yeah. So I got the Movie Pass card, and it hasn't come in the mail, and I was hoping it would come in the mail by today, because today is when Joel goes to see his date friend, and I was like, I can go to a movie by myself and I won't even really have to pay for it and it'll be awesome, and it hasn't come in the mail and I'm kind of bummed.
But there's only one solution. You have to go back in time and submit your application for it a few days earlier.
Okay.
You've been training for this. That's why you've been reading that manga.
It's true. It's true. I have to avert this disaster of not being able to see a free movie.
Yeah, I guess that's my miscellaneous thing. Unless someone wants to hear me ramble about old ThinkPads, now I want to buy one and fix it and make it awesome.
How are you going to make it awesome?
It's just there's the ThinkPad X220 came out in, like, I don't know, 2012, 2011, and is still a really good laptop. Okay. Like, they just made it so you can kind of swap out all of the parts and put 16 gigs of RAM in it and all sorts of things. And it's also really cheap because a bunch of businesses bought it because it's a ThinkPad. So there's lots of, like, refurbed ones and used ones and stuff floating around there. And I get the impression it would be faster than my current laptop. Because even though my current laptop is much newer, it's, like, really low power.
Mm-hmm.
And so it would be really cool to play with this old thing that is cheap but speedy and see how that compared. In reality, I would probably just end up in Linux hell. Why won't this work? Or, you know, trying to fix something on someone's, you know, used thing that I bought off an electronics recycler. But they sound like cool laptops, and they have cool keyboards. The X220 is the last one that kind of has the more traditional, like, desktop keyboard style keys.
Yeah. And
that sounds very cool.
Now, so at my old job, we had, like, 6 laptops for teens to take out because we didn't really have a teen computer lab. And we had ThinkPads, and they sucked. But I've heard just that they're, excuse me, really good laptops. So I'm not sure if just my old work was really bad with computers or what happened there.
Maybe some combination of factors.
I mean, I'm not going to pretend like my tiny little 7-person run library had, like, really good tech, because I tried to fix the internet one day, and when I, like, opened the router closet, we had 2 modems for some reason, and no one could explain why we had 2 modems.
It doesn't just make it go faster?
No. We only had 4 computers, so it's not like we would need that at all. It was very confusing, and we had, like, 3 different named internets, and only one of them ever worked, and it was kind of random as to which one worked on what day.
Oh.
It was so, I was like, I can't even, I'm only here like 15 hours a day. I can't devote the time it would take to try and untangle this mess of tech. And so, yeah, I'm not going to pretend like it was a technological wonderland, but I don't know why the ThinkPad sucked as much as they did, other than the fact that maybe just teens download porn onto laptops and they were a mess. Also, Patrick, I don't know if you're listening to this. I still loved that job. You guys are just a technological wasteland. Okay. Cover those bases.
Yeah, you know. By the way, you said you worked 15 hours a day there. Did you mean 15 hours a week? Okay. I was going to say, 15 hours a day, I feel like you did have time to do really you wanted to do.
A week. That's just my brain not working.
No worries.
Note to self, edit it in. I said a week.
So, what's your miscellaneous thing now that I've bought you whole minutes of time to think?
I really don't know, Ian. I don't have anything.
I brought two things this week, so.
Yeah.
And we complained about library tech, so that's good.
Yeah.
That reminds me, dear Seattle Public Library, you're great, but people need more than half an hour of computer time, and I realize that's a logistics problem, but, like, maybe invest more money in having the library open later and having more computer labs, because those are the things that people want and not rebranding efforts.
Yeah.
Not that I'm bitter.
Oh, yeah. Like, there are reasons to have only a half hour computer time, but usually, especially, like, if there's not a whole lot of people waiting in line, you should be able to, like, just override that. We don't have a limit at our library, specifically because our computer lab is never full and there's never anybody waiting that long. Like, technically, in the policy, we do have a time limit of an hour, but we've never, ever had to enforce it.
Yeah, I think for Seattle, it's algorithmically enforced. It's just automatic, but
oh yeah, you have to sign in with your card and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, Seattle has a huge homeless population that really needs computer access, so
yeah.
My city's a mess.
I mean, all cities are kind of a mess. You know, that's just kind of how we are right now. I guess my miscellaneous thing could be talking about libraries because So I guess my miscellaneous thing would be to talk about the panel I submitted. I think I can talk about it because they're in the voting period. But I submitted a panel for CCEL, which is the San Diego Comic-Con Educators and Librarians section of the conference.
Cool.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a section.
I didn't either until my awesome friend Marissa was like, oh yeah, hey, you should submit a panel for this because it's super cool. And so I've submitted a panel called Queer Comics for Queer Kids, which is, I'm hoping, going to be accepted because I've got some really cool panelists lined up for that. And it'll just be really fun because I like talking about, you know, queer comics and queer anything. And if I get to do it to better library services and also get like a free pass to San Diego Comic-Con at the same time, that's pretty chill.
Yeah, you know, that little fringe benefit right at the end there. So what are you guys going to talk about besides Fun Home, which I think is required on every YA queer comics setup ever? I mean, rightly so, it's awesome work, but like
yeah, I mean, there's just so many that are, like, recent additions. Have you read As the Crow Flies yet?
No.
Oh, that one's really cool. That one's written by, gosh, I don't want to butcher their name, and I think it's Melanie Gilman, and it was recently published by Iron Circus, but it's a really cool, like, coming-of-age comic.
Yay, Iron Circus. They do cool stuff.
Oh, I love Iron Circus so much.
Someday I'll actually read some of their stuff. I just always see it announced, and I'm like, that sounds really cool. And then I forget.
Yeah. I have both of the Poor Crafts, which are really good for, like, budgeting things and how to just...
I have read those. Those are very good.
Yeah, I love Poor Craft. And I read... I've got a couple anthologies that were just put out through, like, Humble Bundle things, because I love Humble Bundle. I really, really want to read Letters for Lucardo, I think it's called, which is that, like, vampire romance smut. And I also want to read My Monster Boyfriend, which is just monster smut.
It's a series of very cute illustrations over on Mastodon, I believe, about someone, like, busted out their... some really old drawings they found. They're like, I still want a werewolf boyfriend though, and they were all adorable. And this is an audio medium, so I cannot share them in any sort of meaningful way, but it's all sorts of adorable tiny girl, big guy, werewolf, like, just messing around and having fun kind of stuff, and being adorable and cute. So
that sounds adorable. You could put it on our website, because I am curious to see this.
I will do my best to put it in the show notes, I guess.
Okay.
We can have show notes. Sure, why not?
Yeah, we're cool enough for show notes.
So our first question today is from Kellen.
Yay,
who asks, Kellen. If you could assemble a mystery basket on the TV show Chopped, what would you put in it, specifically for the entree round?
Oh yeah, I remember seeing this and going, shoot, I have to go watch Chopped.
I watch Chopped at my parents' house when I visit, so I think it's like 3 ingredients.
Okay. Let me just, like, I'm gonna Google the rules. Mystery.
Excellent, excellent. Chopped. Meanwhile, we engage in a deep oral history of the show Chopped from our vague recollections of it.
Ever wonder which mystery basket ingredients have been featured on Chopped more than any other? Okay, well, foodnetwork.com, you have the worst interface I've ever seen. So.
A large corporate website having a bad interface, say it ain't so.
Oh, it's really mad at me because I have ad blocker. Okay. I found out how to play Chopped at Home. Oh, here we go.
The chefs are each given a basket containing 4 mystery ingredients and are expected to use all of them in some way.
Okay. Whoops. Well, it's gone forever. It looks like it's just supposed to be weird ingredients.
Yeah, and 4 of them that all have to get used, so.
Okay.
What would you put in this mystery basket of delights?
So, you go first.
Okay, I need 4 things, and ideally they need to seem like they don't go with each other. So... Ooh, I'd put natto in there.
You put what?
Natto? It's fermented soybeans.
Oh, God.
The best way to describe it the one time I had it was that it smells weird. It tastes kind of like eating coffee. Ew. It's not nearly as bad as everyone seemed to expect me to think it was going to be, but
okay.
I also wouldn't eat a ton of it.
Fair.
So let's see. I'd have that. Now I need 3 other things. I'd have kiwis, just because no one ever does anything interesting with kiwis.
Oh, kiwis. Okay. I like that.
Horse meat, because if I remember right, Chopped is an American show, and so no one would know what to do with that either.
Okay.
What should the last thing be? Discounting illegal things, because that would be funny, but not useful.
Some sort of sauce.
Oh, that would be so mean.
Do it.
Miracle Whip.
Ew.
A straight up full fat Miracle Whip.
Oh my gosh.
Or actually reduced fat Miracle Whip, just so it doesn't behave like they expect it to.
That would be very mean.
So yes, I would love to see what the hell they came up with those ingredients. Because, you know, kiwis and mayonnaise that probably can't legally be called mayonnaise for some reason. The 2 great tastes that taste great together.
Oh gosh. Oh gosh. What could you even make? That would be amazing. Okay. So mine would be... Let's see. Let's do lamb meat, because I feel like it's close enough to meat that people would actually eat, but also no one knows what to do with lamb. Sort of. Let's do like I can't say that word. So we're gonna do like soy sauce.
Okay.
And dried kidney beans.
You seem less invested in torturing the contestants than I am. Sorry, what was your third thing gonna be?
Dried kidney beans.
Don't they have a time limit on that show? That's mean.
Yes. You just said that I wasn't invested in torturing them.
That's true.
So, come on.
They can and just serve al dente kidney beans. It'll be fine.
Yeah. And then I guess there should be something like sweet to throw them off. You already took kiwis. How about dragon fruit? Because I feel like that just doesn't appear in anything.
All right. Okay, so I guess that's our answer.
Yep. I hope that's a good
answer. If anyone ever decides to make something with these sets of ingredients, please, God, let us know. And let us know if anyone you served it to lived afterwards.
I hope that's the answer you wanted, Kellen.
Because it's the one that you got. Okay, next one in the email list is also from Kellen.
Of course.
How beautiful the Hanson brothers are, and how amazing their music is. Colon, discuss, period.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
So the Hanson brothers grew up to be unreasonably gorgeous.
Oh my gosh. And I loved them. So, like, I loved them as a child. And I feel like I'm just vindicated that they grew up to be beautiful, because everyone who made fun of me for loving them back then can go suck it, because they're so hot.
See, I didn't listen to them as a kid. My main exposure was like fucking like Radio Disney or Nickelodeon doing like a music video countdown, and Oombop showing up as part of that, you know, because it was like in the top 10 singles that week or whatever. But
no, I listened to them. So I had their cassette tape, because that's how old they are. I had the cassette tape, and my favorite track on it was like this angsty, well, for like an 8-year-old, angsty track about this person in the yearbook who never got their picture taken and no one really remembers, and it's just like a slow, sad song, and I thought I was so cool. I was basically a Hanson hipster before hipsters were even a thing, because this was my favorite Hanson song, and I thought...
Are you saying that you were a hipster before it was cool?
Well, that's assuming being a hipster is cool at all, but yes. And I was a hipster about the Hanson brothers, so...
Excellent.
High five me.
Yeah.
So I also had a friend who was super obsessed with Hanson, and she had cystic fibrosis, so she got one of those, like, make-a-wish things. Mm-hmm. And she was going to use it to so that we could meet the Hanson brothers, and we were determined that it meant that we were going to be able to grow up and marry the Hanson brothers if we... like met them, and we had a fight over which one of us would marry which Hanson brother. And so, like, at the time, Zach was like, I think the closest to our age, so of course we both wanted Zach. And she was like, well, it's my make-a-wish, so I get to marry Zach. And I was like, okay, fair, I guess. And I got Taylor. So sorry, Kellen, but clearly it was meant to be.
I don't know. I think Kellen's got better odds than either of us.
I mean, that's true.
You've seen Kellen?
I have.
Kellen. If anyone could seduce all of the Hanson brothers at once, it's him.
Yeah. This is the truth.
We believe in you, Kellen.
We believe in you. Live your best life.
All right. About one more question.
Yes, one more question.
Okay, Kellen apparently submitted 3 in a row, so I'm gonna skip the last one and pull it in next time.
Oh, can't we just have an all Kellen episode?
Okay, we can do an all Kellen episode. Okay, this last one is one that I'm going to have so much trouble with. We are to confess all of our favorite fanfic tags slash tropes.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I don't read a lot of fanfic, so, like, I'm going to mess this up.
I regret my decision.
It's too late now. God, all right. So does tags include slash pairings?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay, because I'm into Stucky forever, and I have no shame about this.
Go.
I mean, that's all I've got. I just think they're really cute.
Oh, yeah, that's
true. And I have slowly fallen for angsty PTSD Bucky Barnes, as played by Sebastian Stan. And there's a lot of strong looks in Stubbly and Fierce Eyed and an almost disturbingly wide jaw.
Okay, so I'm bringing up AO3 because I want to just air my shame. So my favorite pairing forever and always will be Sirius Black / Remus Lupin, and I am a Wolfstar stan, and I stick by it forever and ever and ever. I love them. So it's super controversial, but I also am sort of into the Alpha Beta Omega tag when it's done really, really well.
Because I read the start of one of those once. It was bizarre, but really interesting. Like, I can see why people like it.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, is it's super bizarre, and it has a lot of problematic things that you can really easily fall into, but when it's done well, it's just, like, so fascinating. And I think I'm more fascinated by the fact that it's just all of these different fandoms have come together to make, like, a lore in and of itself, separate from any fandom, that you can just plug and play basically with. And I think that's really cool, because it's the power of fandom. And of course, you know, my internet is not going to load my tags, but I also like just like regular coffee shop AUs, college AUs. I was really big into the Hogwarts Avengers. I actually had a few fics that was really fun. It was like a stupid Tumblr thing that was like, if the Avengers all had Hogwarts houses, what would their Hogwarts house be? And then a bunch of people like headcanoned Avengers into Hogwarts houses, and then just started writing what it would be like for them all to be at Hogwarts at the same time.
And which house is Black Widow in?
What did I put Black Widow in? I feel like I put her in Hufflepuff.
Huh.
I think I put her in Hufflepuff with Hawkeye. And I'm not positive that that's true. So I can't defend it at all if people are like, no, that's impossible. It was a long time ago that I wrote those fics, but they were really fun, and it was just a dumb little thing.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not agreeing that it was a dumb thing. Ah! But, like, I get it.
Yeah.
Not a lot of serious investment.
Yeah.
One other thing I'm really fond of, although I don't end up reading a lot of it, just because, like, I really like fanfic when I pick it up, but it's never a thing I think to go and read. Mm-hmm. Although I'm still kind of sad that I lost the link that someone sent me to a Pacific Rim Alpha Beta Omega thing as, like, an example of the genre, because it treated the genre as... it included elements of, like, exactly as much of a horror show as it would actually be to live in.
Yes.
And I really liked that. Because I liked that it was acknowledging that, like, no, this could be terrifying and bad.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I remember reading that, and I can't remember who linked me to it, but it was one of my favorites because, yeah, it was just... wouldn't this be so fucked up if it was true?
Yeah. But away from that very big dark spot of darkness and sadness, I have a really big fondness for, like, curtain fic, or curtains fic, where it's, like, cute domestic scenes with your favorite characters, hopefully not getting, you know, murdered or risking their lives or saving the world.
Yeah. Sometimes that's just nice.
I just want all my little slash pairings to live happily ever after and not have tragic things happen to them.
Yeah, I definitely go one of two ways where I'm like, give me all of the angst and torture, or just like, let them be happy, please. for once. Let them just be happy.
Now, to make this all about me, I sometimes actually worry that I'm a bad writer just because everyone I know is like, ooh, now I get to torture my, you know, nice little character until they break into two. And I'm just like, no, I want them to be happy. I'm going to go tuck my character in and read them a story and bring them their best friend.
I think there's definitely, you know, torturing characters can be fun and it can do certain things for a story. But I think sometimes there's just something nice about a happy story. And, you know, I'm a bit biased because my one published story of this year was just a happy, cute story about a ghost dating a girl. And it turns out fine in the end. And that's it. The big conflict is, oh gosh, I'm a ghost. What if she doesn't like a ghost?
Sounds very cute.
I'm biased, but I think it was very cute. But yeah, so I think sometimes there's just, you know, the world just needs a happy, cute little story. And that doesn't make it any less than any other story. Sometimes you just need happy.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
This is why you and I will never win the big awards. But...
True.
That's okay.
I'm okay.
Our friends that write those stories can win all the big awards. Because...
I mean, awesome, I think that we will win. I don't know where I was going with that. I'm very tired today. I'm sorry.
The Nobel Peace Prize.
Yes, we will win all, you know, of the awards. I think it's possible to win awards with happy stories, though. I think, you know, it doesn't all have to be dark and depressing. Especially in recent years, I think people will look more for the happy stories because the world's kind of dark and depressing, and fiction should be escapism. I mean, it doesn't always have to be, but I think you should get escapism in your fiction, and sometimes you need to escape to the happy place.
Yeah. I remember reading this thing where someone was on Twitter or Mastodon or something was talking about how it says a lot about our generation that our fanfic is about stable people and happy relationships that can afford a house. Like,
yeah. I think, you know, we write what we want to see in the world, and sometimes it's just nice to think that relationships can last and that maybe eventually you can afford a house. I think that's why we're going to see like a lot more like solar punk things where it's like, you know, trying to write the world and less dystopia, steampunky, glorifying the past. It's more like holding up the future.
Look at how cool this could be.
Yeah. I don't know if you read the short story on Fireside. It was called, I think, A Rabbit for Flora. Did you read that? It was super cute. It was, somebody called it a really good example of solar punk. And it was about, so the future is the environment has been kind of destroyed. So they're trying to re-up the environment and motivate people to like make the environment around them better and re-up the ecosystem. So you've got basically an app game where if you plant certain types of plants around and you get like this kind of tree in the morning, you'll find like an egg on the ground, and then you hatch the egg and get to see what animal it is, and then you unlock it on your app and you get certain, you know, achievements and stuff. And all this woman's daughter really wants is to hatch the first rabbit. And so they're trying to just plant the right plants to get the rabbit, and it's super cute.
Aww, it's so good.
And it's so worth
it. I have to read that now.
Oh, it's so cute. I loved it so much. I read it like 3 times just because the world building was really awesome and just the idea of it was so refreshing to be like, oh yeah, everybody's working together. The conflict doesn't come from the fact that somebody's trying to destroy the game or anything. Everybody's working together. And it ends up somebody else gets the rabbit first. But it's still exciting because, oh no, maybe it doesn't end up like that. I don't remember how it ends. And I don't want to ruin it. But it's just a cute thing where, like, people are working together to make the world better and make animals hatch out of eggs.
But where's the money in that app?
I have no idea.
It's like they're implying that someone might make an app for a reason besides collecting data and or making money. Weird.
Maybe that's where the hopefulness came from me, was the knowledge that maybe at some point someone will want to do good in the world.
I don't know. I would honestly love to see more apps like that. Not that specifically, because it's pretty hard to hatch a rabbit from your phone.
Yes, I don't think that actually could exist quite yet, but just more but things.
Something along those lines.
Yeah, something that would be like motivating to like, I picked up trash today, so you get, you know, 2 green bucks or something.
I feel like someone made that a while ago, but I might be misremembering.
Maybe, who knows? I bet you someone has tried, but it just, no one cares about the world, so it didn't catch on.
Yeah. Nothing but up notes to end on.
Oh my god, we're so dark today.
No, but seriously, someone go build that app and save the world.
Please save the world.
Someone go build that app and let me steal credit for it so I can get my, so I can have a better resume for my job interview.
Oh my goodness.
All right. I guess we can probably wrap it up.
Okay. Let's wrap it up. Sorry that this episode was a little dark, y'all. I think Ian and I are a little tired or something.
Yeah, but that's okay.
That's okay.
So, goodbye, everybody. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
See you in 2 weeks.
All right. So now I think we're supposed to do listener questions, except I don't have the email inbox up.
Oops. I don't either. Let's race. Clicky, clicky.
Yeah, I'll get to hear my deafening keyboard, which I'm definitely going to edit out or have edited out because mechanical keyboards is not a good look for a podcast.
I probably should just bookmark this. What's going on? This is taking forever.
And done.
Oh, damn it.
It's my computer science degree at work. That's all I got out of it, so I can click really fast.
Well, I guess that means you have to read the questions. Ha ha.
Okay.
That's what you win. Oh, there we go. I'm in too.